palace courtyards, enjoying the winter sunlight, when I heard shouts. I could see Tryphaena down a hallway, pacing back and forth, her arms waving angrily. She was yelling at an official who held a scroll and who seemed to be pleading with her. I overheard words that brought joy to my heart. Father is alive. He is still king, and he has sent a message to my sister. If she doesn't stop pretending to be queen, he will have her executed. At this, I slipped away so she would not see me, arrow quietly at my side.
Things are really heating up at the palace. It's surprising how much plotting and suspicion can go on within one family. Tryphaena is a true villain. She demands that her slaves fan hot coals night and day to make warm water so she can bathe at any hour. She mistreats the beautiful jewels and fine silk she's given. She's arrogant and mean to her sisters, and even goes so far as to pull a dagger on one of them for touching a string of pearls. It's said that actions speak louder than words, and Tryphaena's actions give us a clear sense, very quickly, of her evil nature. Let's go back to the book now, in the middle of page 14, where it says, to continue.
To continue. For the rest of the morning, I wandered along the harbor with Neva, my favorite maid. We were dressed in the linen chitons of common Greek girls, so we could pass unnoticed among the fishermen. Rather than have her carry my sandals as usual, I held them myself so we would appear as two equals. I can look plain and unroyal when I want to. Also, because I am able to speak with native Egyptians in their own language, I can mingle in the